You are listening to the Makers Church podcast. For more information about our community, please visit makerschurch.org.
Hey, if we've never met before, my name's Derek. I'm the lead pastor here. I'm so glad that you guys have joined us this morning. If you're new with us, welcome. Like Vaughn said this morning, and like it's been uttered throughout, this is home for you, even if this is the first time. And so we would love to go deeper with you beyond what happens here Sunday morning. And so we'll let you know different ways you can connect later on. But we're so glad that you're here. My wife and I and my kids, we just literally came home this morning from family camp this weekend. We had an incredible time. Any Young Life people in the house? Yes, awesome, awesome. So Makers Church, we partnered with Young Life, and we went to Young Life's family camp up in Ramona this weekend, and it was an amazing time with families from other churches all around Southern California, and it just was a really an awesome time. Our kids had a blast, and it was great to just connect with other people in the big body of Christ, and it's so neat to be there and in like just an hour later be here with you guys and be back in the house, in our home, and it's so good to be with you. If you're new with us, if you're joining us for the first time ever or for the first time in a long time, we've been in a series the last several weeks called Blueprint, Plans for a Healthy Heart. And today we're going to wrap that series up. And it's been a really, really great time together. And I just want to refresh you guys on where we've been together as we close out this series. What we've done throughout this series is we have used a home as the metaphor of what it would look like to have a healthy heart. And so let's just pretend our hearts are a home. And really the big conversation, the thing that we've been in for a long time is what is the DNA, what is the foundation, what are the building blocks of that house? And then really the big important thing is what's in that house? What is that house, the home of? And really those are the things that we've been talking through. In week one, we talked about the foundation of a house. And that foundation is wisdom. And there's this wisdom and truth that is made available to all of us if we would receive it. And if we would build our hearts on that, it would be the perfect foundation for us. And then the next week, we talked about the door, which is vulnerability. We talked about what it would look like to live lives that are open to God and open to others, where we would reach out and invite others in, and we would respond to others who are asking us for need, and we would ask God for his help, and we would respond to him when he asked us to do something. And then the next week, last week, we talked about the walls, and Pastor Shalice gave an amazing talk about boundaries. And it's just such a fundamental conversation to be had. What those walls of our lives would look like, what the boundaries would look like in our lives, and how boundaries don't actually constrict us, that they set us free. And today we're going to wrap it up by talking about the last part of a house, which is the roof. And you know that if you're building a house, this is oftentimes one of the last things that goes on, but it's the most important thing. And the roof, what I want to talk about this morning is the protection. We know that a roof gives a home protection, and that if you don't have a roof on your home, it really doesn't make a whole lot of sense to have a home, right? Very few people have walls around a house and a nice door and some windows and bars on the windows, but a roof open, right? In fact, we know that even a slight leak in a roof can cause a ton of problems. Right, even just a little leak in a roof can cause all sorts of problems in your life. And so we want a sound roof. In fact, I work as a fireman, and one of the things we do when we go into a house that has fire in it is we go on the roof and we cut a hole. But before we go on the roof and we cut a hole to relieve that heat and smoke, we sound it to make sure that it's sound, that it's strong enough for us to walk on and to stand on. These are the kind of roofs that we want over our hearts. We need some protection over our hearts. Now, I know it could be a little bit confusing because we just talked 2 weeks ago that we should have a big wide open door, right? That our hearts should be vulnerable, that we should be open, right? So how can we have an open heart but then have a roof over our heart, a covering, a protection over our heart? And I think there's something different here that we need to identify. See, there's something different about being open to others and open to God, being vulnerable with each other, being vulnerable with God, but having protection over all of the stuff, all of the crap, all of the things that can penetrate our hearts and make us unhealthy. That's what I want to talk about this morning. I remember when I was younger, I used to love backpacking. And I've grown up since then. It's stupid to walk when you can ride a dirt bike or horse or anything else that moves you faster. But I used to love to backpack, and I would do this ultralight backpacking. And so I would really take as minimal amount of gear possible, and you wouldn't bring a tent. And part of it was because, well, it was just extra weight, and it was just heavy. And then the other part was, it's just, there's something like really cool about sleeping out under the stars. It's beautiful and it's awesome. And a few times I had done it and it worked out for me. You know, like there were no bears or snakes or anything like that. It was great. But one time, particular time, I went backpacking and I didn't bring a tent. I slept out under the stars. To be honest, at this point, I just didn't want to carry the extra weight. It was not about really the exhilaration of sleeping under the stars anymore. And I remember just waking up in the middle of the night, just getting pelted by mosquitoes. And the only thing sticking out of my little coffin bag was my face. And I just remember I looked like I just broke out in like, what is that called? Chicken pox when we were kids. They don't have that anymore these days. You kids, you don't even know what chicken pox are anymore. But I just looked like I had just broken out in chicken pox. And then out of nowhere, it just starts dumping rain. And so now I'm bit up by mosquitoes and there's a thunderstorm and I'm soaking wet. And I'm like, this is miserable. And I think oftentimes we can go without protection in our life. We can go without a roof because, well, maybe we're too lazy, right? We don't want to carry the extra weight, or maybe it's the exhilaration. There's something that's just so exhilarating. And it would be amazing if we could just sleep outside under the stars. Or sometimes we let our guard down, or and what happens is we become exposed and we become open to things that are not desirable, like mosquitoes and storms. And those things can begin to invade and infect. And I want to sit kind of in this one verse this morning as we talk about what it would mean to have protection over our hearts. And there's this passage where Solomon, who's perhaps one of the wisest men that we talk about, is writing to his son. And he says this in Proverbs chapter 4, in verse 20. He says, I need to read it off the back. It says, my son, pay attention to what I say. Turn your ears to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart. For they are life to those who find them and health to the ones whose body. And then he says this. This is the core thing I want to sit in this morning. Above all else, guard your heart. Protect it. Put a roof over it. For everything you do flows from it. Above all else, guard your heart. For everything you do flows from it. Now, when I started dating Laurel, we were at a Christian school, so it was one of those things you ask, like, what's your core verse, you know? This is what you do. And this was it. This was her verse right here. Proverbs 4:23. Above all else, guard your heart. And I'm like, girl, I'm going to get in that heart. I'll break it down. I wasn't a fireman then, but if I was, I knew I would have every tool in the trade to get into that roof, right? But verse 24, it says, keep your mouth from perversity. Keep corrupt talk from your lips and your minds, you people. It says, let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Give careful thought to the paths for your feet and be steadfast in all your ways. Do not turn to the right or the left. Keep your foot from evil. Now, why would perhaps the wisest man in all the world speak these few words to his son? Of all the words he could have told his son, why would he tell him to guard his heart, to protect his heart? Why is it important for you and for me to have a roof over our heart, to protect it, to have some shelter for us? I think it's important for us to understand that what's in your heart will become the controlling factor for your day-to-day living. Now, let me be clear about something. We know that our hearts are both hardware and software, right? We know that our hearts are both hardware and software. We know that the hardware of our heart is this ugly-looking muscle. It does not look like a pretty red thing that we see on Valentine's cards and deck of cards and all those things. It is this weird-looking thing with different ventricles that beats, and it pumps blood through our bodies, and it serves the most important function in our body, to pump blood around. That's the hardware of our heart. And we know how to take care of that heart, don't we? How do you take care of that thing? You exercise, you avoid the Krispy Kreme. What else do? You eat well, you don't be stressed, you don't smoke, you get some sleep. We know all these things. We could write a health book, you and I, together. We could write the next best health book. We know exactly how to take care of the hardware of our hearts. And in fact, I'm even at the age of my life where I'm not neglecting it anymore. And I'm training for a triathlon, which is stupid. Because I can't even swim. Thank God for Sydney over here. She taught me how to swim yesterday at family camp. I had the lifeguard coaching me, like, yeah, don't do that. You're going to drown. And then, but I know at this point in my life, like, I need to take care of this old ticker in here. So I'm doing what it takes to do that. We know what it means to take care of the hardware of our heart, but do we do it? Like, why am I 35 already and I'm just starting to think about how to take care of this thing? I'm just talking about the hardware. But then we have the software of our heart. We have that thing that the scriptures talk about, that our hearts, that we write music about, that when it's broken, country music is created. When we have the software of our heart. And I think many of us know, we know how to take care of it. But do we? We have all the tools available to us, but do we? And Solomon is telling us, then guard that thing. Guard your heart, the software of your heart. Guard that thing. He isn't saying, like, don't exercise, guard that bad boy. He isn't saying, like, don't do the things that are good for you. He's saying, guard that heart, because everything you do will flow from this thing. And so we know that the heart is basically the controlling force behind our lives. In fact, I would say the heart is the epicenter of our will. The heart is the epicenter of our will. And in Luke 6:45, Jesus says, the scriptures say, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So the scripture says everything we do will flow from, it will come out of this heart of ours. And I love that Jesus uses the word treasure. He says the treasure, the good treasure in your heart. Now, what is a treasure? When I think of treasure, I think immediately of my son, I think of pirates, and I think of, you know, treasure that you'd find, like, in the Caribbean. But if you actually understand the word treasure, it's more about the thing that you would treasure, the thing that you would guard, the thing that you would take and maybe deposit in a safety deposit box or into the bank. Treasure, to treasure something is to deposit it, to keep guard of it, to hold it. And I think this is what the scriptures are talking about. Whatever we treasure, whatever we deposit into our hearts is what will flow out of us. In Mark 7:20, it says, what comes out of a person is what defiles them. For it is from within, out of a person's heart, that evil thoughts come. Sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All of these evils come from inside and defile a person. The heart is the epicenter of our will. All of these things, these awful things that can happen out there, they come from within here. So, if they come out of here, how do they actually get into here? And this is what the roof is all about. This is what the protection is all about, that we would have protection over our hearts to prohibit those things from even getting in, so that they would never find their way out. But how could we do that? I think the first step, the first part, is to gain mastery over our thought life. To gain mastery over our thought life. Why are our thoughts so important? Why did Solomon say, above all else, guard your heart, for it affects everything you do, everything flows from it? Because your thought life controls the flow of your life. Our hearts are directly connected to our minds. Now, I don't want you to get confused here. It's like, is this about the head or about the heart? Right? Now, this is the funny part. We talk about the heart and the software of the heart and all of these things about the heart as if it's true. This is just a metaphor. None of that stuff actually lives in our heart. Our heart is just a muscle that beats and blood flows through it. Did you know that? There is no love in your heart. There is no poison in your heart. Your heart is just a muscle that beats. You know how we confuse this? Well, a long time ago, people misunderstood how science worked. The Egyptians actually believed that the heart was the source of the soul, that the soul resided in the heart. They even thought that memory and all of those things resided in the heart. They had no understanding of how the brain functioned at this time. Emotions, personality, intelligence, all of it came from the heart. You don't believe me? Go find a brain in a mummy. There isn't one. They took the brain out and discarded it. The thing that they kept was the heart, because they believed that the heart was the source of our very identity, our persona, our emotions, our will, our soul. And I know what you're thinking, like, those stupid Egyptians, they didn't know. I mean, they could build pyramids, but they didn't know the body, right? But then after that, like far after that, Aristotle believed the same thing. Perhaps one of the greatest influencers over all of European culture believed that the heart was the source of intelligence and motion, sensation, that the brain and the lungs, he believed this, that they existed to cool the heart. They were like a radiator for the heart. So they had a misinformation. They didn't understand. Because, you know, when you feel something or you think something, you ever get a sensation in your head other than a headache? Like, you never feel like butterflies in your head, right? Like, my little daughter bombed down this water slide yesterday. She gave butterflies. That happens here, not up here. So there is no disconnection from the mind and the heart. See, we have a fight or flight mechanism, and when your brain gets stimulated, your heart starts to beat faster, so it gives blood to your vital organs so you can either fight or run. And that's what happens when you fall in love, when your heart gets broken, when you feel empathy for someone, your brain is making your heart respond to it. So I don't want you to be confused this morning. Nothing actually exists here. It is your mind, which is why my first step in getting protection over our hearts is to master your thought life. Master your thought life. Because everything you think will become who you are. You want to ask me, who am I? Tell me what you think and I'll tell you. You want to know who you are? It's what you think. Proverbs 23:7 says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. One of my favorite quotes of all time, and in fact, it's so famous, people can't even agree on who said it. They're all trying to take credit for it. So I just say it's unknown. It says, watch your thoughts, they become your words. Watch your words, they become your actions. Watch your actions, they become your habits. Watch your habits, they become your character. Watch your character, for it becomes your destiny. We have to learn how to control our thought life. Romans 12:2 says, do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. And so I submit to you this morning that even though we know that everything flows out of our hearts, that this is a metaphor, right? This is a misunderstanding of the way the human body works, but it's a perfect metaphor because it's where we feel it, it's where we sense it, and it all comes from here. And our thought life will begin to define and construct and contort the very essence of who we are. But when we can gain mastery over our thought life, some things will begin to happen in us. We will learn how to govern our speech. We'll learn how to guard our eyes and our ears. We'll learn how to guide our steps. These are the things that will allow us to have protection over these hearts of ours. So we must learn how to govern our speech. This is the wisdom that came from Solomon to his son in verse 24, right after he said, guard your heart. He said this. He said, keep your mouths free of perversity. Keep corrupt talk far from your lips. A modern way of saying this would be what I tell my kids all the time. If you don't have anything nice to say, don't say it at all, right? If you don't have anything nice to say, don't say it at all. Keep corrupt talk from your lips. In Matthew 12:34, it says, you brood of vipers, how can you who are evil say anything good? For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him. And an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. You want to know what's in your heart? What comes out of your mouth? If you want to know what is being deposited, what is being stored up in your heart, what is coming out of your mouth? What are the words that we speak? Do we speak life into other people, or do we use our words to tear other people down? Do we use our words to bring blessing to others, or do we use it to bring blessing to ourselves? Do we use words to build ourselves up or words to build others up? The words that come out of us will be indicative of the very things that are inside of our hearts. So we must learn to govern our speech. How do we do that? Many of you are sick of me talking about this. I just took the captain's exam at work. I work as a fireman. And I studied for 5 months, which is the longest I've ever studied for anything in my whole life, even though I have a bachelor's degree. And I studied, and I became a walking, like, policy manual for the San Diego Fire Department. Like, everything, I would tell my wife, like, babe, that's policy 17.1. Like, you can't do that in this household. You can't take the Windex from the kitchen to the car. Like all of these stupid rules that I learned that the city of San Diego has, they're not stupid, they're good, they're there for good, but I realized that at any moment, in any point of the day, I could get fired. Because I was breaking some sort of policy. There's a million policies and there's a million things, and I'm like, everybody on the rig, I was just pointing out, like, you're breaking the rules, we're all fired. And it's funny, like, I had meditated on this so much that it's all that was coming out of me. I had meditated on it so much that the only stuff that I could even regurgitate was captain stuff. I'd be driving by a house with my family in the car, and I'd stop. I'd be like, babe, tell me what window a fire is coming out of. I'm going to give a size up, you know? And I'm, metro, you know, it's stupid, but it's all I could think of. It's all I could think of. What we meditate on, what we study, what we focus on, what we obsess over, what we spend our time on, that's what gets deposited into our hearts. What we meditate on, what we obsess over, those are the things that get deposited in our hearts, and it's what comes out of us. This my favorite spiritual discipline. I want to do something with you real quick. Get your phones out, only if you got an iPhone. The rest of you, just sit there. You got an iPhone? Get it out. Get your iPhone out real quick. Put your little thumbprint in it. Do me a favor. I want you to go to the settings. I want you to go down to your battery. It's on the screen. Go to your usage. And when your usage pops up in kind of the middle of the screen, on the right, there's a clock. I want you to click that clock. If you've done that, raise your phone in the air. If you've done that, raise your phone in the air. All right? All right? Now I want you to go down and look at the top runner on that bad boy. What is the thing you spent the most time on? How many hours did you spend on it? Don't even tell me what it was. Just tell me hours you've been on there. Somebody shout it out. 1 hour? Go, wait, whoa. Click the next tab over the last week. 7 days. 7 days. Tell me hours. 9 hours. 9 hours on Instagram over here. Who else? 14 hours on Reddit. All right, y'all gonna get two. This is not a confession time. 3 hours on Instagram. Shalise spent 3 hours on Bumble. You're married, girl. Come on. All right. Put your phones away. This is my favorite spiritual discipline. My wife reminded me of it yesterday, so I thought I'd remind you all of it. You want to know what you're meditating on? You want to know what you're obsessing over? You want to know what you're spending your time in? Well, we got some metadata to show you. Pull your phones out and take a look. You know what happened when I was doing the studying for the captain's test? I did this, and I just needed to make sure that I was doing my flashcards more than I was doing Instagram. I had to prove myself that it mattered more to me, and so I would check that bad boy and be like, yes, I spent more hours on Chegg than I did on Instagram. And I knew that I was pointed in the right direction. How many of y'all had like 14 hours open on your Bible app? Come on now. You can't leave it open while you're sleeping. You know? But this is the way it works. The things that we meditate on, those are the things that will come out of our mouths. And then we got to learn how to guard our eyes and our ears. Proverbs 4:25, the next sentence he tells his son. He says, let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. You guard your heart by controlling what you allow your eyes to see, because your eyes and your ears are the portal to your heart. Listen to what Luke 11 says. It says, your eye is a lamp for your body. A pure eye lets sunshine into your soul, but an evil eye shuts out the light and plunges you into darkness. Make sure that the light you think you have is not really darkness. For if you are filled with light, with dark corners, then your whole life will be radiant. With no dark corners, then your whole life will be radiant, as though a floodlight is shining on you. See, what the scriptures say is that our eyes, they're the portal into our hearts, and what we allow into our eyes will begin to construct what's happening inside of our hearts. Now, I know the easiest example for you if you grew up in church or in a Christian home is the simple antidote is don't watch rated R movies, or don't do this, or don't do that. And while you're a kid and it's annoying, I think there's something to this. Here's the dad talking this morning. There's so much junk that we can let into our eyes. And I'm not here to convict you or whatever about whatever TV shows you're watching, Mark Wallace, Westworld, and all these other things. That's our pastor, by the way. I say this to prove a point, right? We are all adults in this room, right? There's a difference between watching something and depositing it into your heart. See, there's a difference between seeing something or watching something and knowing how to have a filter and knowing how to screen something, right? This is literally Pastor Derek at work or anywhere there's like a bad movie on. Sex scene comes on, guess what I do? Instagram. Just look away. It's not that you just walk out of the room or you just go, I can't do that, or I'm not going to go to that movie or do that thing. Be an adult. Do you need to not watch rated R movies? I don't know. What's coming out of your mouth? What thoughts are you thinking? I don't know what your control mechanism needs to be. I don't know what your phone just told you. I don't know what apps you need to delete or what you need to not watch. All I need to know is that what you allow in, it will begin to invade what's in your heart. And if you put it on deposit here, it's what will begin to come out. Be an adult. You know the judge of that. The next thing is, actually, before I go on to the next point, I think there's so many times we have control over what we see, and we can do something about it. We can look away. We can distract ourselves. We can use a filter, use a screen, do something else. But there are things that you get to see that you had no choice over. There's sometimes things that happen to you that you had no control over. It wasn't up to you. But we get to choose whether or not we deposit it or whether we spit it out. We get to choose whether we deposit it in our hearts and hold on to it, or whether we get to shield our hearts from it. And there may be some real work that you need to do in your life. You may need to go to a therapist. You may need to pray. You may need to have hands laid on you. You may need to walk with people in community. There are things that have happened to you, that have been done to you, that you had no control over. And you don't want those things deposited in your heart. And I believe that that's the very thing that Jesus can set you free from, that there is real help available to you. And I just want to say that before I move on to the next point, because I think that there are real issues happening in among us, in us, and to people that you love, that they had no control over. And there's real help out there. And I want you guys to know that this is a place where you can find it. This is what church is all about. This is what it is to be a community. And the same is true for the things that we listen to, that we hear. Proverbs 4:20, he says at the beginning of this whole passage, he says, my son, pay attention to what I say. Turn your ear to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to one's whole body. You guard your heart not only by what you see, but by what you hear. Now, I remember when I was a teenager growing up in the epicenter of Christendom, Berean bookstores and all of these places, Spotify didn't exist. Right, so you couldn't just listen to whatever you felt like listening to at any point in time. So there were these stupid charts, and it was like, if you like Metallica, you'll like Pillar, and you would have to burn your secular CDs, and buy the Christian stuff, and this is not what I'm submitting to you. Maybe that's what you need. Maybe what you're listening to is poisoning you, and you need some stuff there. I'm not saying that this morning. I'm saying you know what's coming out of your mouth. You know what thoughts you're having, and if there are things that you're letting into your eyes or to your ears that are poisoning you, then there are real things that you can do about it. Learn how to guard your eyes and your ears. And the last thing is guide your steps. He says this to his son, verse 26. He says, give careful thought to the paths for your feet and be steadfast in all your ways. Do not turn to the right or the left. Keep your foot from evil. Do not turn to the right or left. Give some thought to your steps. You know how hard that is for a guy like me who's an activator? I just step. I just start walking. I love to learn the hard way. I'll learn through trial and error every time, but the scriptures point us to wisdom and they say, give careful thought to the paths for your feet. Give careful thought to the paths for your feet and be steadfast in all your ways. What paths are you walking down? What paths are you walking down? More importantly, who are you walking with? Who's on your journey with you? Who are you walking with? Will you learn how to guide your steps? I want to invite the band up. We're going to close out. Look, a lot of this, it isn't new to you. This is just like hearing exercise, diet, sleep, rest. Do all of the things that are good for you. And you go, yeah, that's good. I'll do it one day. And you get some lab work done, and you go to your yearly wellness exam. Not that I'm talking from experience. And it's like, yeah, your cholesterol's up, your heart. You need to start taking care of it. And I think sometimes there are moments in our lives where we've known what to do all along, and we've just resisted to do it. I know that for many of you who have grown up in the church, this is not the first time you've heard this stuff. Guard your eyes, guard your ears, protect your heart. This is stuff we know. Are you doing it? Is your heart protected? Do you have the firm foundation of wisdom? Do you have the door to vulnerability? Do you have the walls of boundary? Do you have the roof of protection? These are the plans for a healthy heart. Do you know how to master your thought life? How to guard your eyes and your ears? How to guide your steps? See, our hearts, they need to be guarded. They need to be protected. But most importantly, our hearts, they need to be directed. And I think one of the most important things that we could ever do with our hearts is to believe with it. To believe with it. Listen what the scriptures say in Romans 10, verse 9. If you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with the heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. Did you hear what the scriptures say? Perhaps the most important thing that we can do with our hearts is believe with it. Because when we believe with our heart, what comes out of our mouths is Jesus is Lord. And what does it say? It says when that happens, when you believe with your heart and you confess with your mouth, when it comes out of your heart, when your heart believes and you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, it says what? That you will be saved. You know what saved is a synonym of? Protected. You will be guarded. You will be shielded. You will be saved. You want to have the roof of protection over your life. His name is Jesus. See, Jesus is big enough. He's bigger than. He's big enough for us to take missteps. He's big enough for us to let some things in that shouldn't have come in through our eyes and through our ears. He's big enough for some crap to come out of our mouths that we meant or that we didn't mean. But Jesus is the roof. He is the protector. He is the covering over our hearts and over our lives. And I know many of you in this place this morning, you have already believed in your heart, you've confessed with your mouth, but I believe that there are some here that have never done that. And so with heads bowed and with eyes closed, I want to invite those of you this morning that have never had a chance to invite Jesus to be the protector, the cleanser, the guardian, the source of your life. I want to give you a chance to do that. And so if you're here this morning and you've never walked with Jesus, you've never invited him in, I want to give you a chance to do that. And you just say something simple like this: Jesus, I need you. I invite you into my life. And I will walk with you. Cleanse me of my sin. Protect my heart. In Jesus' name. Now, if that's you with heads bowed and eyes closed, if you said that this morning for this time, would you just slip your hand in the air? Say, that was me. I prayed that prayer. I want to walk with Jesus. If you just identify yourself. Awesome. God, we thank you, Lord, for hearts that have turned to you this morning. God, we thank you, Lord, that you are big enough for us to come to you with all of our missteps, God, with all of our corruption and things that have come out of our hearts, God, and that you are big enough for us to lay them down at your feet. And so, God, I pray for every person in this room this morning, God, that has never heard of or has forgotten, God, how big and how extensive your grace is, God. May they know this morning the fullness of your love for them, that your grace is sufficient. God, may today be a day where we know how to take what we know and move it into action. May we as a church, God, not only take care of the hardware of our hearts, but take care of the software of our hearts. So that, God, we can be those who use words to bring life and to build up. We pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let's stand together and worship one last song.
You are listening to the Makers Church podcast. For more information about our community, please visit makerschurch.org.